invite you to open up your Bibles and to follow along this evening. Now, the first point that we're going to look at is how teachers have to first be taught by somebody. You know, think of physically, as an educator, and I'm a 7th grade math teacher, I had to be taught by somebody. I had to learn the math that's needed so I can teach my students that math, but also had to learn the strategies of education. I had to learn what things make a teacher better, what things can I incorporate so that I can be a more effective teacher to my students. And as the more and more I teach, the more and more I learn. And I have to continue to learn and to perfect my skills as a teacher. You know, spiritually, we can't be an effective teacher if we first are not taught. And so, first question, who teaches us? Well, turn with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And I think this passage, verses 1 through 15 of John 3, answer this question of who should be teaching us. If we want to be a spiritual teacher, who should be teaching us? John chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven, but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. And it's interesting as you look in this passage, first of all, what Nicodemus calls Jesus. He calls him the teacher who has been sent from God. Nicodemus realized who needed to teach him, and that was Jesus Christ himself. But also look at verse 9 of what Jesus calls Nicodemus, verse 10. What Jesus calls Nicodemus, he says, You are the teacher of Israel. And yet Nicodemus didn't understand this concept of the second birth. He sought out the master teacher so that he could learn from him. And it's the same with us. No matter how knowledgeable we may be, like Nicodemus was knowledgeable, whether we're a teacher or not, we have to be learning from Jesus. We have to be learning from the master teacher. I would venture to say if I asked anyone who taught you about Christ, who taught you about God's Word, we would probably think of someone. We would think of our parents, maybe our grandparents, a Christian that we know, a coworker, a preacher. And yet, yes, we have to be taught by people. But all of those people, in order for us to become a true Christian, had to be really teaching us of Jesus. We have to follow the master teacher. And we must make sure that what man teaches is in accordance with Christ's teaching. Make sure that the master teacher is who is really teaching us these things. Because if we're not taught by Jesus, we can't be effective teachers. We can't even be effective Christians. And so step one, we've got to be taught by the right person. Be taught by the master teacher himself, and that's Jesus Christ. But also going along with that is that our learning should never end. We should always continue to learn as Christians and as spiritual teachers. We won't go back and read 2 Peter chapter 1 because it was read for us just a few minutes ago. But you know, it says you've got to keep adding to everything, all of these virtues as Christians, knowledge is one of those virtues. And then in verse 8, he says, If these qualities are yours and are increasing, we have to continue to increase in our knowledge and in every other characteristic as a Christian. You know, as a math teacher, those of you who know me very well are not surprised by this, but I have every single day of the school year planned out. I have it on a calendar, it's color-coded, everything, every day of what we're going to do that day. I have two big binders in my classroom, and every activity, every lesson is all in that binder. And I just follow through that because this is my fourth year teaching. I have a pretty good understanding of how to pace the school year. But if I were just to look at what I was going to do one day, take it out of the binder, make the copies, give it to the kids, and I don't have any type of preparation, even though I've done it over and over again, then as a teacher, I'm going to become complacent, I'm going to become lazy, and in turn, I'm going to become ineffective to my students. See, I have to continue every single day, every single year, even though I probably don't want to sometimes. I have to continue to make sure I'm tweaking things, I'm changing things, I'm making sure that that lesson or what I'm teaching is fitting those students, because every group of students will always be different. Well, as a spiritual teacher, if I stop growing, if I stop increasing, I'm going to become lazy, I'm going to become complacent, and I'm going to become ineffective as a teacher as well. You see, to be effective spiritual teachers, not only must we first be taught by Jesus Christ, the master teacher, but we must be growing every single day. We must be seeking out the knowledge every single day. We must be increasing every single day. And so teachers, we must first be taught, but we also make sure that we never stop this learning from Jesus Christ, from the master teacher himself. So teachers must first be taught, but also teachers are motivated by people. And so my students, they all the time, I teach the same thing 6 times every day, over and over again. And they say, "Mr. Payton, do you ever get tired of this? You know, what do you really love math so much that you're going to do the same thing over and over again?" And I always tell them the same thing. I know it sounds cheesy, but I say, if I taught because I love math, I would have found a much higher paying job. I wouldn't be teaching probably. I teach because I love the people. I love the students. And I'm sure if you were to ask any other teacher, they would say they teach because of their students. You see, my love for my students, my love for seeing my students grow throughout the school year, that's what motivates me. That's what keeps me coming back every single year. That's what keeps me excited about going to school every day. Yes, I love math, and if you spend time with me, you will hear me probably go on nerd mode about something math-related. I love math, but my love for math doesn't motivate me to teach. My love for people is what motivates me to teach. As Christians, we have to love the subject. The subject of what we teach is God's Word. We 100% have to love what we teach, love the subject matter. But no matter how much we love God's Word, the subject, we will never be effective spiritual teachers if we aren't motivated by a love and a compassion for teaching lost souls. Let's go back to the master teacher. Jesus Christ had this same love and compassion for lost souls. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, we're going to look at a couple of verses that demonstrate the love that Jesus had for teaching lost souls. And I think as you're turning there, we know, everyone here knows, and we will say and agree, Jesus loved God's Word. He loved what God had given to them. He had a love for the subject matter. But notice what his motivation was for teaching and helping others. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them, because they were distressed and dispirited, like sheep without a shepherd. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 14. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and felt compassion for them, and healed their sick. And then Mark chapter 6 and verse 34. Mark chapter 6 and verse 34. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. He saw the need that they had. He saw that they were lost. And then what was he motivated to do? He began to teach them many things. You see, Jesus loved God's Word, but Jesus loved and was compassionate towards lost souls. Because when he saw those lost souls who needed to be taught about God and about himself, that moved him to go help them and teach them and heal them. Now, if as a physical teacher, if I'm not careful, then I could start to see students as test scores, as evaluation tools for myself, or even as behavior issues, instead of seeing them as what they are. Students, kids, who are in need of a teacher. As spiritual teachers, if we're not careful, we can start to see lost souls as numbers on our attendance board. We can start to see lost souls as maybe check marks on what I call a conversion scorecard. How many people have you helped convert to Christ? Or we can see lost souls as issues that are just too great for them to overcome. There's no use because it's never going to work. Instead of seeing them for what we need to see them as, what Jesus saw them as, lost souls, sheep without a shepherd, in need of the master teacher. And who better to teach them about Jesus Christ than us, than His children, than those who are following Him? And if we have the love and the compassion that Christ had for these lost souls, for these sheep who are straying without a shepherd, then we will always be motivated to be the spiritual teachers we need to be. That love, that compassion for helping lost souls come to Christ, that will motivate us to teach others. Because weren't we all in that same spot? Weren't we all in that same situation at one point in our lives? If it wasn't for somebody reaching out and teaching us, we would still likely be lost souls. And so be motivated by people, just like Jesus was. Love the subject, but teachers also have to have the motivation to teach those who are lost. And so teachers must first be taught. Teachers are motivated by people, and then a teacher's work is never done. Living in Speedway and teaching in Speedway, a small town, every time we go into public, I mentally prepare. I'm probably going to see a student. And whenever I do see a student, whether I'm walking down the street in our neighborhood or I'm out at the grocery store or at a restaurant, they never once come up to me and say, "Hey, Nick, how are you doing?" It's always, "Hey, Mr. Payton." Why do they call me Mr. Payton? Or my dad, he's taught for over 20 years and in the same town. So he has students that he had 20 years ago. He's teaching their children now. You know what they still call him? Still call him Mr. Payton. All of us, we think about the teachers that we had in school. I guarantee we would call them Mr. or Mrs. so-and-so. Well, why is that? That's because teachers are always teachers, aren't they? You know, how many times do we hear elementary school kids think that teachers live at school because they're always the teacher? They don't have lives outside of school. You know, to us, in our minds, that teacher that we may have had 50 years ago, they're still our teacher. A teacher's work is never over. And you know, whether a teacher's in the classroom, whether a teacher is in public, you know, they're always being watched. Someone is seeing them. And we also often say teachers may be the most scrutinized people in this world. And that's because of the profession that they have. They're always being watched or listened to. You know, and also, teachers realize that they don't just teach their subject. You know, The best teachers that I have had, most of the time, the lessons that I remember 10, 12, 15 years later were not the lessons that I learned sitting down taking notes. They were lessons that they taught me that didn't have anything to do with their subject. And likewise, some of the fondest memories that I have as in my very short career as a teacher are the ones that didn't have anything to do with math. They're things that I taught students that weren't about school. And you know, transition that to spiritual teachers. If we want to be effective spiritual teachers, we got to remember that we are always teachers for God. There's no time off. People are always watching us, and they're always listening to us. And sometimes we like to say that that's a bad thing because people are trying to get us to trip up. They're trying to see us make mistakes. And yes, there are going to be those people. But I think more often than not, people are watching us and they're listening to us because they're curious. They want to know more about us. They see that we're different than everyone else, and they are seeking out something from us. They want to be taught. You know, we don't just teach others during a Bible class, during a personal study, here in the church building or somewhere else. We teach others every single day by the way that we live our lives. And so just a few ways that we do teach others. We can teach others. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. And the first way that we can teach others every single day of our lives is in our speech. And we see this illustrated here in Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6. It says, "Conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. And let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person." So here we're told in Colossians 4 that our speech is one way that we teach others. That if our speech is with grace, if it's seasoned with salt, is what he says here, we're going to be teaching those who are outside the body of Christ. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Another way we teach others is the way that we treat others around us. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 24. It says, "The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition. If perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will." You see, the way that we treat others, and especially what he says here in 2 Timothy, our opposition, those who are opposed to us, that's how we teach others. The way that we treat them. And notice what happens if we are kind to everyone, if we are ready to teach, if we are patient when we're wrong. You see what happens to those who see the way we live in verses 25 and 26? They repent. They come to the knowledge of God, and if God wills, they're converted to Christ. The way we treat others is one great way that we can teach every day. And then turn to the book of Philippians in chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We can also teach others through our attitude. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 3 through 5 talks about a selfless attitude that we can have. "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others." And notice who had the same attitude. "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus." Our selfless attitude is one way we can teach others. And then flip the page to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5. It says, "Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near." And so through a selfless and through a gentle attitude, we can teach others every single day. So we teach not just in a Bible class, not just in a one-on-one study. We teach in our speech, by how we treat others, and through our attitudes. Now, eventually, I'm going to retire as a math teacher. Am I counting down the years? Possibly. I'm excited for retirement as a 26-year-old. But although I can retire, and I will retire one day from teaching math, I can never retire from teaching God. I can never retire as a spiritual teacher. We can never become complacent. We can never kick our feet up and say, "Well, I put in 50 long years of work. Now I'm going to rest." No matter how old we are, no matter what stage of life we're in, no matter how busy we may be, we are always spiritual teachers. There is no time off. There are no personal days. There are no summer breaks. And there's no retirement for spiritual teachers. We are always a teacher. The work of a teacher is never done. The song that we sing many times is 100% right. We'll work till Jesus comes. And so as teachers for God, as spiritual teachers, let's remember that our work is never done. We can't just sit back and we can't be finished teaching others. We must always be ready and be willing to be a spiritual teacher. You know, there are those among us, everyone has different jobs. Some of us are teachers. Some of us work in business. Some of us work in finance. Some of us have a white-collar job. Some of us have a blue-collar job. Some of us might work with our hands. Some of us might work sitting in front of a computer. Some of us might work in the home. But no matter what profession we have, no matter what we do every single day, every single one of us is a teacher. And so as teachers for God, as spiritual teachers, remember that we must be learning from the master teacher. We must be continually growing. Remember that we must be motivated by a love and a compassion for lost souls. And remember that our work as teachers is never over. Because I hope we've seen this evening how important teachers are. And Edna Pence, from her hospital bed on September 2nd, 2019, she was 100% correct when she said, "There is no work as important as the work of a teacher." And so let's make sure that we're accepting that responsibility. Make sure that we are continually teaching for God. People are watching. Let's take advantage of that. And let's be teachers for God. You know, I had a conclusion for this sermon. And then this past Friday at school, something happened that completely made me change my mind. There was an eighth grader young man who he was at school Wednesday. He was at soccer practice Tuesday night running around. And he went in on Thursday for a routine heart procedure that he had had happen many times. And we got to school on Friday, and the first piece of news that we heard was that he had passed away from complications of that procedure. 14 years old. I don't think he woke up that morning thinking that that would be his last day on this earth. You know, that was not a fun day at school. The teachers, the students were trying to cope with the fact that this young man who was there at school on Wednesday wasn't there on Friday. He wasn't going to be there anymore. And you know, it was a very sobering day. A lot of people, especially the adults, thinking about the brevity of life. And one thing that kept coming to my mind was a phrase that we in the high school class at Greenwood that I've been teaching this quarter, we've been saying the past couple of weeks. And that is, every morning we should wake up ready for Jesus to come. Because if we can't say I'm ready for Christ to come, if we can't say that I'm ready for my life to end, if that were to happen today, we need to do something to change that. And so I just am going to finish with that. If Jesus were to come this evening, if your life were to end this evening, could you 100% say, "I am ready for that moment"? If there's hesitation, if you're not 100% certain, change it right now. Do whatever you have to do to change that. Because we don't know when our life is going to end. We don't know when Christ is going to come. And so, if you hesitate by saying you're ready for Jesus to come, if you hesitate even one second saying that you're ready to meet your Savior, don't leave this building tonight without doing something to change that. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation in any way, we ask that you would please come forward as we stand and as we sing.